All right, this is the hardest thing we're going to do. Chi-square has grown up in more different areas than ANOVA and correlation, and so there's a little more slop and variability in the way that it gets used. There are some language opportunities and choices, and I want to go through this and make sure that you are ready for the variability that you're going to run into. Three basic ways that you are likely to see a chi-square research hypothesis expressed. The proportion type. A greater proportion of those who do the on-web exam preparation than those who do the on-paper will pass the test. So I've got two categories, web, on-paper. I'm going to calculate the proportion who passed here, proportion who passed there. I want to see if there's a difference. The chi-square can be used to test that expression. The implied proportion. Those who do the on-web will do better than those who do the on-paper, because what does do better mean? It means more of them pass. Does that make sense? I don't like this one so much, because the do better is just not helping. It's not telling me what sort of variable we have, and I can make shit up when I see those words. Then there is the pattern type. More of those who do the on-web exam prep will pass the exam, whereas more of those who do the on-paper will fail the exam. The top and the bottom are not the same. You can have a smaller proportion in the on-paper who fail without the majority of them failing. You with me? The one on the bottom is hypothesizing a symmetrical data pattern. Top on one side, bottom on the other. The first hypothesis is only telling you there's a difference in the proportion in that category across groups. Let's look at some examples. So on the left is a proportion type research hypothesis. A greater proportion of cats than dogs will prefer crackers. All right? This is the pattern type hypothesis. More cats will prefer crackers, more dogs will prefer chips. I bring you two sets of data. Let's apply each hypothesis to each set of data and ask, retain or reject the null? Support or not support the research hypothesis. The null hypothesis does not give a shit what kind of research hypothesis you have, right? The null hypothesis is just asking, is the relationship in the sample strong enough? So we look at the p-value and we say, yep, there's a data pattern, no doubt about it. If we want to know if the proportion of cats that prefer crackers is more than the proportion of dogs that prefer crackers, we have to calculate each. Of the cats, 44 out of 60, or 73%, prefer crackers. Of the dogs, 12 out of 42, or 29%, prefer chips, prefer crackers. And so, yes, more cats than dogs, proportionally, prefer crackers. Full support. How we doing? All right, let's take the proportion hypothesis over here. Got an effect. I've got 44 out of 60, or 73%, cats that like crackers, and I've got 32 out of 62, or 52%, and so here we support the proportion research hypothesis. There's a difference, and bigger proportion, smaller proportion. Now, if you're asking yourself, how do I know if these proportions are different? That is what's tested here. If there is no relationship, we treat these proportions as equivalent. If there is a relationship, it has to be somewhere. All right. What about the pattern type? This says more cats prefer crackers and more dogs prefer chips. 44 is more than 16, 30 is more than 12. This pattern of data also supports the pattern type. But let's look here. 44 is more than 16. 30 is not more than 32. So finally, we see an example of partial support for a research hypothesis. At this point, in the models we're working with, and the versions of the models we're working with, the only time partial support for a research hypothesis is possible is a chi-square. Not for correlation, not for ANOVA, and only sometimes for chi-square. So we found an effect twice, and both times the effect is cats like crackers more than dogs. But here, the proportional expression is satisfied by both, but this pattern type, the pattern type is a stronger hypothesis. More of them here, more of them there. But you don't need a pattern hypothesis to have a significant supported hypothesis. You've got to start ahead of time. You've got to decide, how am I thinking about this? Am I thinking about proportional cracker preference? Or am I thinking about cracker preference versus chip preference? And how strong is that relationship? Is it fully symmetrical? Yes?
So, I can't help but notice that in the green hypothesis, if we broke it up instead of having a single hypothesis, there's essentially two embedded hypotheses.
Yes, yes, because it's a pattern.
Right, and so I'm just wondering, what's the benefit of embedding the two hypotheses within the same hypothesis?
Because,
as opposed to breaking them up and reporting them separately.
If this research hypothesis is fundamentally a version of species and snack are related, then this captures the pattern of the relationship. If you want to say dogs are like this and cats are like that, and that's what I care about, dogs are like this and cats are like that, and I'm not even really comparing them, I'm just saying dogs are like this and cats are like that, then I would treat this as two goodness of fit hypotheses. But we started out asking if these two qualitative variables were related. This is merely how we chose to express the pattern of the relationship. Great question. Yes?
So is it partial because you would know...
Partially supported. Being a bitchy here.
Is it partially supported because we are able to say the more cats, we prefer crackers?
Yeah. Yeah, we decide there's an effect, and that's enough bigger than that to say more of them than them out there. This, we're going to say, is no difference, because if there's either a difference or it's backwards. Either way, we did not get dogs prefer chips. So we would say, as hypothesized, there is a relationship between species and snack. As hypothesized, cats prefer crackers. Contrary to the hypothesis, dogs don't seem to have an interesting preference. Notice how many more words it takes to describe a chi-square result than either of the others. Correlation, positive correlation. ANOVA, that group's bigger. But the chi-square is a pattern and will always take more words. And don't be in a hurry and don't short-shuck it. Use the words. All right. You know me. If there's a trick question embedded in it, we're going to talk about it. I don't let that stuff sit around unloved. Here's the booger. A greater proportion of those who do the on-web preparation than those who do the on-paper will pass the test. You see, chi-square contingency table gets filled up with frequencies. But the way the chi-square works, if you will allow me to anthropomorphize, because I like that, the way chi-square thinks is comparing proportions, not frequencies. So, you may, instead of this proper representation of the research hypothesis, get this mess. More of those who do the on-web will perform better on the exam than those who do the on-paper. More of sounds like a frequency comparison, doesn't it? But it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a proportional. You have to be careful about these kinds of frequency hypotheses. Chi-square works in terms of proportions, not hypotheses. You might have more than one group, more in one group than another, and this can cause problems. So here we go. Instead of the reasonable statement, a greater proportion of cats than dogs will prefer crackers, you get more cats than dogs will prefer crackers. Preferring crackers? 20 cats, 20 dogs. Doesn't look like more than to me if I'm thinking about it as a frequency. But the model does not think about it as a frequency. The model thinks about it as a proportion. And 20 out of 40 is a whole lot less than 20 out of 30. I should say 20 out of 60 is less than 20 out of 30. And so we get a significant effect and we get total support. Because dogs are more likely to pick chips and cats are more likely to pick crackers. The way that it's expressed is misleading. Because most people are taught a frequency table and then a bivariate frequency table, and then they're taught the chi-square. They're thinking about them as frequencies. They hypothesize about frequencies. They use words like more or less. Perfectly understandable. We have to do better. When we express something, we should express it in a way that maximizes the fit of the statistical model to the data analysis. Talking about linear relationships, patterns of relationships, proportion differences, mean differences. And when somebody else says something, we have to either be sure we can re-express it to maximally correspond the fit to the data analysis, or we ask politely. I know I drive people nuts. I don't intend to, usually. I'm an only child.